Milwaukee Journal sent a Milwaukee Bucks podcast coming at you on the day before the start of the 2019-2020 NBA season. It is here. The Milwaukee Bucks will be in Houston to face the Houston Rockets. Matt Velasquez will be there. He's on the other line to talk about it. He is the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast. Let's get into it, Matt. We have a lot of things to discuss on the eve of the beginning of the Bucks NBA season. The season began Tuesday night. We saw a big Clippers-Lakers showdown, the Raptors and the Pelicans, teams that didn't have the superstars I'm sure the NBA thought they would have when they scheduled that game to kick off the season. But we are here. The season is underway. I'm going to set this up a little bit differently than our other podcasts. We're going to do more of a buy or sell format. I'm going to ask you just a few topics, and you can tell me how you think those things will go, whether you buy them or sell them. But let's start out with something that appeared on jsonline.com on Wednesday morning. A story, strangely enough, about a Harvard Business School study about the Milwaukee Bucks, trying to take a look at sort of the things that are in play for the Bucks, trying to be a small market franchise to sustain success. At the heart of sustaining success would be to bring Giannis Antetokounmpo back on the Supermax extension that we've talked about ad nauseum. And for the first time, we've speculated about it, but for the first time, we have in this study, Giannis himself saying, if the Bucks don't win, if they underperform this year, it would make it more difficult for him to come back. Now, again, we've talked about that. That's not a new line of thinking, but it's never been this pointedly laid out before by Giannis. When you saw that, holy smokes, a crazy bombshell in this Harvard study. What did you think about it, and does it change anything about the outlook for Bucks and or Bucks fans?
Yeah, so I heard from Rick Rimmel, our colleague at the Journal Sentinel, who wrote this story, last week, and he said he had heard about this Harvard Business School study, and he was kind of looking into it, and he was reading the case, and he came across this Giannis quote, and Rick is somebody who definitely follows the Bucks and has done so for a long time and is you might even argue a Bucks fan.
He's
fair to say,
huge Bucks follower. We can at least say that he knows the Bucks very well, going back to the 70s.
So he saw the quote from Giannis, and it wasn't attributed to any other place. And other places in the case, I guess there were quotes about stuff. And so he got a hold of me, and he's like, "Hey, Matt, have you seen this quote before?" And I saw it, and it popped off the page, and I kind of thought, there's no way that quote has been out there, because if it was, I feel like I would have seen it. That's the kind of thing that I either would have been there for or I would have heard about. That's pretty newsworthy, the way that Giannis laid it out. He followed through on it, and I guess the professor and the student who were who penned the case, they actually came to Milwaukee in the spring, and they talked to Giannis, and that's what he said. And so that's kind of just interesting that they opened up, and Rick wrote in the story that he talked to the professor, and she said that sometimes people will talk more frankly with them, because they're in academia and it's not necessarily like a huge public thing, and so people be a little bit more upfront and honest or whatever, and so we kind of saw a little bit of a different side of Giannis, or a little more open side of Giannis, and kind of saying what we all have already expected, that he likes what the Bucks have done so far. He wants them to win it, build a winning culture, and so far they have. And if it lasts, quote, there's no other place I want to be. But then he goes on to say that if they're underperforming, it becomes harder to decide whether or not to sign, when he gets that Supermax extension offer, which he will, as we know. I think that the whole story that Rick wrote was really great in the way that he talked to all the major players. He talked to Bucks president Peter Fagan, one of their owners, Jamie Dimon, who's also a Harvard Business School grad. That's how I believe that's how all this got set up, was that they were going to kind of work together and kind of be out there with Harvard Business School. And it seems like a pretty cool part of a class. And I think that getting all the people to kind of like lay out like what this case study thing is about, and how it all got put together and kind of what it generally means, and obviously how the Giannis implications, I think it's a great story, and I'm really excited. If you haven't read it yet, definitely go to JS Online, pick up a Journal Sentinel, whatever you got to do, go find it.
Yeah, there's actually two stories, one on the quote itself that of Giannis speaking in those terms, and then one just about some of the other points that the study has made or things that they've discovered. So like you said, definitely check that out at jsonline.com. A couple ways to look at that. First of all, from the sort of alarmist point of view, it does disrupt the illusion that Giannis is so in love with Milwaukee that he'd be willing to stay no matter what. But a couple things why we wouldn't worry about it is, A, like we've said, this is not a new line of thinking. We've all speculated that that would be part of the equation. And two, the Bucks should be very good this year. If they underachieved with this team, especially with a bunch of guys who figure to be around for multiple years, it would be pretty heartbreaking, not just because of how it figures into Giannis's long-term plans, but because this team should be one of the favorites to win the East, if not the favorite, and one of the favorites to win the NBA title, although national perspectives have not necessarily bought in fully to the Milwaukee Bucks. So that brings me to, that'll bring us right away to the buy and sell portion of this program. Again, the season getting underway for the Bucks on Thursday night. So we'll start with buy or sell. The Bucks are the clear favorite to you to win the East and should be favored to win the NBA title. We'll go a step further. Buy or sell that the Bucks are the favorites to win the NBA title.
Oh, see, the way you phrased that was two different things. You said are the clear favorites or are the favorites? I feel like maybe I'm being pedantic, but
clear. That's totally fair. So let me rephrase it. Let me make it clear what I'm asking. Are the favorite? We won't say clear because I think we can all agree there's no clear favorite, but the Bucks are the favorite to win the NBA title.
I'm going to sell on that only because, I feel like if we're going by Vegas odds, it's probably going to be one of the Lakers teams. If we're going by, some 538 or BPI, some kind of Mr. Wizard formula, maybe the Bucks are up there because of their continuity. Other teams you don't really necessarily know about. If you look at the GM survey, the Clippers got more votes than the Bucks. The Bucks were second. So I'm gonna sell on them being the favorite. I think they're definitely up there. I think they're definitely a worthy contender, a worthy championship team. As I wrote for our season preview, just yesterday, it'll be on JS. It's on JS Online now. Four reasons to believe, four reasons to doubt, one big question. Actually, I probably should phrase that better. Four reasons to believe, one big question, four reasons to doubt. A little 4-1-4 action there. So I think there are definitely plenty of good reasons that they could be a favorite or should be a favorite. But the favorite, I think that a lot of people would still lean Clippers, at least right now.
So let me back up and re-ask part of this question that was poorly worded in the first place. But buy or sell, the Bucks are the clear favorite to win the East because the Sixers are getting, in my mind, a surprising volume of love for the Eastern Conference.
I see. That's where things get obviously murky. I think that the Bucks, are, I would say, clearly a better known commodity. What the Bucks are going to be. You know that this system works. You know that Giannis plus shooters, depth, and defense, it was 60 wins last year. It could have been more if they really wanted it to be, but it got them all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, up two games and with plenty of chances to win that series and go to the finals, and who knows what could have happened. So we know that the Bucks will be in the mix, late into the spring, or at least they should be. Whereas the Sixers, they have a bunch of new pieces. They've changed over their roster. They have a really interesting and potentially great starting lineup. They don't have a ton of shooting. So how exactly they work is more, it's more cloudy. It's not obvious just yet. We need to see how they figure that out. I think the way I was describing it to someone yesterday was, there are questions about the Bucks, but they are May and June questions. There are questions about the Sixers, and some of those are like October, November questions. Like, how does this work? As you mentioned, the Sixers are getting a lot of buzz. They are getting a lot of hype for this point of the season. A lot of people are picking them to be their team out of the East and maybe even a championship team. I think part of that is just the nature of, wanting to find something different and new and exciting, and we don't know what the ceiling is and projecting and all that. But I think, if the Bucks, I would say, should be the favorite because we know more about them, and they have the talent and they have the depth to be a great regular season team. But it's really just going to come down to a 7-game series late in the spring between the Bucks and the Sixers. If it doesn't, I'd be surprised.
I think what surprises me about sort of not seeing maybe as much universal love for the Bucks as I thought there would be is that this team doesn't have the flashy talent that some of the others do. Or I should say name talent. We know that it's a talented and deep team, but those teams are gonna need a minute to figure out how this new arrangement works out for them. With the Bucks, it's the same players who won 60 games last year. Like you said, they could have won more. We know the system works. We know they're a great regular season team, and we know they're a pretty good playoff team because they won 8 of their first 9 playoff games. So that should tell you that they're capable. Actually, I should say they won 10 of their first 11 playoff games. So that should tell you that it works in a short sample as well. I'm surprised. I think it's just right now the lack of a flashy offseason signing or two is sort of clouding them when it comes to comparing them to the Clippers or the Lakers or the Sixers or whatever. But let's another buy or sell here. The Bucks are a better team this year than last year. They lost Malcolm Brogdon. They added a couple pieces. But what do you think about that one?
You sent me some of these questions yesterday, and I read that one, and I'm like very much on the fence because yes, like from 1 to 15, I think they're better than they were last year. I think when you look at, you know, the collection of guys they had at the end of the bench last year, you weren't getting a ton out of them. But this year you can realistically, you know, see the level of talent that they have 1 through 15 that you have, you know, Dragan Bender, for example, who, you know, he may not play a ton during the regular season, but he was great in the preseason. Maybe he's the Christian Wood equivalent. You know, Pau Gasol / Jason Smith, they didn't really do all that much. You know, but now the Bucks have Robin Lopez, who is a true, like, backup center. So I think they've improved in that regard. I don't think that anybody that they brought in on the wing is better than Malcolm Brogdon. But I do think that they are better overall on the wing because, you know, now you have Wes Matthews and you add Kyle Korver and you get Dante DiVincenzo back. You know, I guess I'll just, you know, very tentatively buy that they're better this year. I don't know that that'll translate to more wins just because I don't know how they're going to handle the regular season. But I think that there is a reason to believe they could be better. They believe they're better. They believe they're deeper. They believe that they're tougher. So we'll just have to see, you know, if that all comes to pass, because there is reason to believe that they could regress, that teams could figure them out, that they're going to have a more difficult time this year, that guys aren't going to shoot as well as they did or play as well as they did or, you know, defend as well as they did. That's why you play 82 games.
I think there's an argument that could be made that they're a better team this year, but also might not win as many games as last year because they're going to be a little more aggressive about resting, more aggressive about looking ahead to the playoffs. Again, I don't think their formula was flawed in any way, shape, or form. They were able to have massive success in the playoffs right up until a point, so I didn't feel like that was anything about their process. But how would you buy or sell that the Bucks will win fewer games than they did last year?
I'm going to buy it. I think they're going to win fewer games. Like I said, that's not an indictment of them or their system or their team. I think that last year they really pushed to try and get that number one seed. You know, I know a lot of players talked about how important that would be, and ultimately it wasn't because they had home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals, and, you know, they couldn't take advantage of it. You know, they had the series tied at 2 games apiece, and they're back in Milwaukee, and they had that home court advantage, and we know what happened. So maybe they won't consider that to be the most important thing. They'd rather rest. They'd rather be healthy. They'd rather make sure Giannis has less tread on the tires heading into the playoffs. So, yeah, I would peg them around, like, 57 wins. That's kind of maybe 58, but 57, 58 is kind of where I expect. I think that's somewhere near their over under number. Some places might be 57.5, so I'd take the under. Let's go with 57. That'd be my number.
And that seems like a number that's going to get them one of the top 2 seeds. To me, that's a big thing. Getting one of those top 2 seeds, having home court for at least the Eastern Conference semifinals. I feel like if it's a 7-game series with the Sixers, that the Bucks could handle that, even if it requires four road games. Still feel like that would give some serious 2001 flashbacks, even after we had the run in 2019, the Eastern Conference Finals against Philadelphia is a possibility to relive that almost 20 years later. Some of the preseason conversation has been around Eric Bledsoe for obvious reasons. He was injured. It does sound like he'll be available, as you reported Thursday, for the opener after he had a rib cartilage injury. But it hasn't gone unnoticed that Eric Bledsoe has struggled in the playoffs now back-to-back seasons, and some thought that the Bucks could stand to get better there. They did, of course, sign him to an extension last year, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't be able to move on from him if it turned out that he wasn't the guy that, you know, they thought could take them to this final level, this next level. So buy or sell, given the emphasis on it, buy or sell Eric Bledsoe's playoff showings are a major concern for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think they definitely are a major concern. So I guess I'm buying. But with the caveat that I don't know, you know, if he can kind of hit the ground running in the regular season, be the regular season Bledsoe that he was last year, I think those concerns kind of die down a little bit. He has developed, or at least worked on developing, as a shooter over the summer. You know, we've seen him more after practice this season already, you know, working on his three-point shot, something that I don't think we saw as much last year after practice. I think he's putting a lot of extra work in, at least, you know, maybe he was doing it before practice, now he's doing it after, so now it's more public. But he's putting in that work. You know, they need him to be able to hit, you know, wide open spot-up threes, because he's going to get those. And if he can do that consistently, he shot them at a pretty decent rate, you know, last season. If he can do that and continue that through the playoffs, then I think that really, you know, makes him all the more useful and takes the heat off of the past few playoff appearances. But, you know, we also have to remember that, you know, the playoff series against the Celtics 2 years ago, you know, that was kind of his return to the playoffs. He didn't play well. You know, he kind of just had a bad series. You know, most of the team, you know, outside of Giannis and Chris Middleton, not many other people had a great series that series. But then last year, you know, he played fine. He was, you know, there were no issues against the Pistons. There were no issues against the Celtics. He got off to an okay start against the Raptors, but then, you know, he fell apart. You know, Nikola Mirotic fell apart. Brooke Lopez didn't necessarily have the best series. I think he had a great game one, if I believe, but outside of that, like, he had some issues too. So it wasn't just all on Bledsoe, and it's definitely a cause for concern if that's the guy who shows up again this spring. I see the rationale behind people trying to figure out, you know, okay, should they trade him? Because obviously that contract is about average for an NBA point guard. If they can move him, what can they do with it? But I don't think the Bucks are necessarily going to panic. You know, they really like what he brings in the defensive end. They think he's one of the best defensive guards in the league. Obviously, as a first-team all-defense guy last year, that there's some credence to that. But, you know, we're going to have to see if he can just maintain that consistency all year and be ready for when the spotlight shines brightest.
Let's take this to a little bit of a darker place, because we know the Eastern Conference is pretty weak, and even though everybody acknowledges for the Bucks to win a title, Giannis is front and center. Everything runs through Giannis. But let's say the worst thing happens and Giannis gets hurt. Let's say Giannis misses half the season or more with an injury. Buy or sell the Bucks can still make the playoffs in that scenario, and if they can, maybe what sort of seed line would you expect them to be on? How high up do you think they'd go?
Well, I'm knocking on wood, like, for Giannis. I don't have a rooting interest in any of this, but I do not want to see anyone get hurt ever. So I think that's where we start. But I think this team, as constructed, you know, with their depth, could still definitely be a playoff team if he missed half the season. You know, we would have to see how exactly that would shake out with the rotation. I think it would mean a lot more Ersan Ilyasova, which, you know, he's pretty injury prone himself, you know, with his like, I think 9 or 10 broken noses in his career. I think that they could run the offense through Chris Middleton a little more. Obviously, Bledsoe would have a big role in that. You'd get a little bit more Ersan, be able to play him more at the four instead of at the five. You have the Lopez brothers kind of cycling there at the center. You have shooting on the wings. You know, obviously Giannis has a ton of gravity and is really the guy who makes everything work. But in the Eastern Conference, which isn't supposed to be very good, I don't think it'll be very good. Like, the Bucks should still be able to clean up, you know, against the likes of the Hornets, the Cavs, the Knicks. You should be able to still fare well, you know, against the Hawks, even though they're pushing and trying to get better. You know, we saw, obviously, it's preseason, taken with a huge grain of salt, but, like, you know, Middleton, Bledsoe, and Giannis didn't play at all in the preseason game against the Bulls, and, you know, the Bucks were perfectly fine. And like I said, huge grain of salt. You don't have all the best guys from the Bulls playing that whole game, you know, but the Bucks have depth, and depth is what really matters in the regular season. If they get to the playoffs, you know, with that scenario, then all hope is lost and just move on.
All right, so let's get back into a more optimistic worldview. If Giannis plays the whole season and matches his production from last year, this is admittedly a difficult question to answer because it's about the MVP, and it's very relative. You have to know what other people are doing as well. But buy or sell Giannis repeating as MVP, especially if he's able to match or approach the production he gave in 2018-2019?
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think that there's a reason why he's the favorite. The Bucks are going to be good, and he is going to be at the center of all of that. He's developed, or he's trying to develop, you know, his mid-range shooting, his three-point shooting, get more comfortable from multiple spots on the floor, be able to take advantage of defenses sinking on him, whether it's deep into the paint or off the three-point line. You know, he's improving as a passer. I think he's already a really great passer. But I think that he's finding different angles and different ways to manipulate defenses and the gravity and the attention that they pay to him. And so, you know, I could easily see, you know, an instance where he's averaging, you know, 30 points a game, you know, 12, 13 rebounds and 5 or 6 assists. I mean, if he could do something like that, you know, obviously his minutes will be a big question as to, you know, how his numbers look and how many games he plays will be important. But if he could put up those type of numbers and the Bucks can win in the high 50s or, you know, be the 1 or 2 seed in the East, I think that there's definitely a path toward him becoming the MVP. Kawhi Leonard will have something to say about that. LeBron James and Anthony Davis will have something to say about that. Joel Embiid will have something to say about that. James Harden, Steph Curry. I mean, there's going to be a lot of players who, you know, could make a run at MVP. Nikola Jokic, don't forget about him. I know a lot of people do forget about him and his dad bod, but you know, it's going to be a really, you know, tough race for MVP this year. Just like it's going to be a tough race for everything in the NBA this year. I think the league, with the parity and the way that it's set up, everything is wide open, and you can make an argument for basically anything right now. And there's a lot that you could find that would be reasonable. And I think, you know, Giannis, you know, just by the way everything's set up, he doesn't have a necessarily, like, it's not a big two in Milwaukee. Yes, Chris Middleton is an all-star, and he was great last year, and he's been consistent. You know, Eric Bledsoe, at times last year, people were calling for him to be an all-star, and he's first-team all-defense. You know, Brooke Lopez is a big part of what they do. But it's a big one. Like, it's not a big two in the way other teams have it. It's a big one, and so there is some more opportunity for him in that regard. Like, he's not sharing the spotlight with somebody else. It's all based around Giannis, and everything else is there to support him, and that, you know, should be able to bolster his MVP case.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head that even last year he was able to win the MVP despite a historic performance from James Harden. So you'd like to think, if that those same numbers apply again, that he would be able to beat out another historic performance, especially because James Harden is now part of a big two. Like you said, he's with Russell Westbrook. And I think Kawhi, people will say, well, Paul George is there too, so you can't give it all the love to Kawhi. I'm going to plant my flag for Nikola Jokic of Denver. I think he's definitely a guy that will be a strong candidate, because Denver has a chance to win the West, or at least be a top two team in the West. And again, you're not, you know, I don't know if the average person can name other people on Denver at all. They might not even be able to name Nikola Jokic. And with the narrative now working slightly against Giannis, because, you know, repeat winners aren't as exciting as first time winners. I think that's where maybe Jokic would have an edge. So that's something I'm going to watch. Let's go rapid fire to finish this out. A few maybe more tongue-in-cheek questions, or just smaller buy or sell question and answers. Buy or sell, Thanasis Antetokounmpo will be a part of the rotation most of the year.
Sell. I will definitely sell that. I think that he will have a place as kind of an energy guy, a role guy, a guy who will close out blowouts. But I think with the guys ahead of him, he might be inactive a lot of nights. You know, you can only have 13 of your 15 guys active for any given game. And, you know, he's been playing a lot of four in the preseason. There's a bunch of guys ahead of him in the front court. He's not going to have too many opportunities. But if there are injuries and he is active, like you might see him in the rotation sometimes. You'll definitely see him in the fourth quarter to blowouts. And he'll still do some fun stuff. But I don't think he'll be part of the rotation most of the year.
Buy or sell, Robin Lopez is the best NBA player to follow on Twitter.
He's a great one. I think I'm going to sell only because I think that Joel Embiid holds that crown for past tweets and their viral nature. I've heard that he's supposed to be kind of toning it down in terms of the way he goes at other guys. But I guess his belief, he doesn't want to start it. If someone starts it with him, he'll go back. But, you know, so I'm hoping that he can, someone would dare to step to him so that he can respond, because, you know, his Twitter game is very strong when he's coming back at people.
Embiid, a big Packers fan, as we've seen, including against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I would probably vote for Embiid as well, although pop culture observations wise, I don't think you can get better than Robin Lopez among NBA players. He is a joy to watch. Very curious to see sort of what his game ends up being. They'll, I'm sure, add more 3-point shooting, as we've discussed, but I'm curious to see how he evolves with this Bucks team. Buy or sell, Dragan Bender will be a starter for the Bucks in 2 years.
In 2 years? I have no idea. I'm going to sell. Only because starter, I Brooke Lopez is still under contract. Giannis should potentially still be here. And so there's no, he's not starting. He might not even be on the team in 2 years. He has this year and next year under contract. I'm going to sell. It's going a little too far.
Perhaps. I'm very intrigued by the upside there, but I agree with you. That's probably just too foggy a crystal ball to try to get an answer there. Buy or sell, the biggest offseason addition, we've talked about Lopez and Bender, Thanasis for that matter, the biggest offseason addition will turn out to be Wes Matthews.
I'm going to sell only because I think Robin Lopez is going to be more important in the playoffs. Because when you project out to it being Bucks versus Sixers, you're going to need a bunch of guys to throw at Joel Embiid. And the more of them that are not Giannis, the better. Like, you want Giannis to be off of Embiid. You want him to be able to be that help defender who comes over from the weak side. So if you can throw Brook Lopez at him for a while, and you can throw Robin Lopez at him for a while, and you can even throw Ersan Ilyasova in there as a curveball, I think that's going to help the most. I think there's also a case to be made that the biggest offseason addition might have just been Dante DiVincenzo being healthy. I don't know that he'll crack the starting lineup the way Wes Matthews has, but I think his role coming off the bench and in that second unit will be important. I think Wes could definitely bring some positive shooting and some toughness on defense, and can kind of fit alongside those starters pretty well. But there are other guys who can do similar things to what he does, whereas the Bucks don't have anyone else who looks, you know, who looks like Robin Lopez, at least on their bench. They have someone who looks exactly like him in their starting lineup, but not on their bench.
Yeah, we got confirmation on Tuesday that Wes Matthews would be in the starting lineup, something that we had discussed as a strong possibility, and now we will see that on Thursday. Speaking of Thursday, buy or sell, everyone is going to freak out when the Rockets beat the Bucks on opening night.
Everyone's going to freak out about everything all the time. So I will buy. So I'll buy. I'm not saying the Rockets are going to beat the Bucks. I'm not saying the Bucks are going to beat the Rockets. I actually was talking about this with someone yesterday who was asking about all the Giannis speculation. And I said, look, like, if the Rockets beat the Bucks, people are going to be like, well, this is just proof that the Bucks aren't good enough, and they don't have a big two, and Giannis he might leave. And then if the Bucks beat the Rockets, it'd be like, oh wow, the Bucks beat the Rockets. But, you know, can they keep doing this? And will Giannis stay? You know, if they can't keep doing it, it's like, you know, like, it's just going to happen all the time. Like, it's whatever. You know, some people might even like criticize the Journal Sentinel for writing the story that, you know, Rick Rimmel wrote about Harvard, the Harvard Business School case.
Oh, that is coming. Let's not fool ourselves.
I'm sure it is. And so, you know, it's one of those things where when there's information that comes to light, like that's our job to share it, you know, and like that's what we do. It's not like we're gratuitously writing stories to say, hey, like, you know, what's going to happen to Giannis like every other day. It's like, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job about staying away from that. You know, you mentioned it because it's relevant when it needs to be mentioned. You know, like when we find a quote that is attributed to him that he said that no one else has seen before, that's kind of important. But I think people freak out all the time because that's what people do.
All right, last one. We know that Zion Williamson will not be starting the year for the New Orleans Pelicans, who, of course, opened their season on Tuesday night. He's out for, it sounds like, 6 to 8 weeks. Buy or sell, Zion Williamson will make his NBA debut in Milwaukee on December 11th. That is a game on ESPN.
I want to buy that so much because...
Ah, yes, but no.
But I will even say it's okay if it's not his NBA debut. If he returns from injury even sooner than that, like closer to 6 weeks in the timetable, that's great. Like, great for him. I hope he does. I just want him to play in Milwaukee because I'm selfish, and I feel like the people of Milwaukee are probably also somewhat selfish.
Oh, yes.
And they want to see Zion play because that will be super fun. And if he doesn't play, it'll be a downer, and then people in Milwaukee won't see him until next season at the earliest, which is a huge bummer. So, like, let's get that man healthy. You know, if anybody knows any special tricks to healing meniscuses magically, immediately, please send that information to the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm sure they'd appreciate that. And let's get Zion playing in Milwaukee because that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's no real logic in why they would choose that game. I'm just, of course, throwing it out there. That's the first of a couple road games in a row for the Pelicans. If they wanted to start on the road to ease him in, that might be a possibility. It's a midweek game, but it is on ESPN, so yeah, I don't know. It would be pretty sweet to see him here, and a big bummer if he is still hurt. Before we go, you did get to chat with some members of the Bucks on Tuesday. I guess just any last thoughts as we head into the season, anything that jumps out at you that maybe we haven't touched on?
No, I'm ready. They're ready. Like, let's do it. Like, let's get this season going.
I agree with you. Bucks will be in Houston on Thursday night. I'm trying to remember if that game's got to be on national TV, right? Like TNT or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. And then they'll be back home Saturday. Jimmy Butler of Marquette University fame, Tyler Hero of Whitnall High School fame in Hales Quarters, Greenfield. He'll be back with the Miami Heat on Saturday at Pfizer Forum, the home opener. That should be kind of entertaining. Tyler Hero's had quite the interesting preseason. He's going to be a guy to watch this season. He's had a meteoric rise since his senior year 2 years ago at Whitnall High School, 1 year at Kentucky. Fascinating guy to watch, and he'll be here back home Saturday night. Matt, safe travels to Texas, and we will chat with you again very soon.
All right. Can't wait.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. Like I said, we will be back next week. We'll have actual games to talk about. Not sure if we're recording Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but the best way for you to get this podcast immediately as soon as there's an episode is to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Stitcher, Spotify, and at the JS Online website, Journal Sentinel website, jsonline.com. You can find Matt Velasquez's reporting. Ben Steele also is a big part of the Bucks coverage that we have at the Journal Sentinel. You're going to want to check that out. There are always great deals for subscriptions. You can get a digital subscription, jsonline.com/deal, to find out what the latest is. You're going to want to stay up to date on what's going on with the Bucks. This is going to be a very special season, just like last year was. They obviously come in with some high expectations, and it's going to be pretty exciting to see if this time they can close the deal after a run to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 18 years last season. Thanks to Matt Velasquez for joining us today. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Find me on Twitter at J.R.R.A.D.C.L.I.F.F.E. That's just my name. And let me know what you think. Otherwise, leave a rating and review at Apple Podcasts. That helps us reach more people. If you could do it, it'd be huge. We thank you very much for that. And we will be back with you next week. Take care. We'll